My name is Cheryl, and I am a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I've been in OA for 33 years.
The first 24 years that I was here, I had a lot of recovery. When I first came in, I lost all the weight I needed to lose pretty quickly, but didn't do a lot of the things that needed to be done. And it didn't last a real long time to be at an ideal weight. All through those 24 years, I had a lot of, I consider it to be a lot of relapses. Some of them for months, some of them for just a few days, but about 9.5 years ago, I finally admitted to myself that I had to abstain from anything that was made with any kind of sugar, flour, or wheat, and from artificial sweeteners. And I know that most people think that's really radical, but once I stopped doing that, I have not gone back. I've not gone crazy with sugar in all those years. And I've reached that neutrality that they talked about in that they talk about in the Big Book around alcohol. I have reached it around all those substances. And so I'm just not tempted to eat them anymore. And I haven't been for 9.5 years. And that's a really big deal to me. I can smell people making fresh goodies, or I can smell, I can have desserts in my house. And the last thing that I would do is put one bite of that in my mouth, because every time I have in the past, and sometimes it started with a diet soda, and the next day there was another one, and the next day there was two, and the next day there was three, and a couple weeks later I was eating all kinds of crap, and my personality changed so severely throughout this time, and I had no clue. I had no clue. I thought, nobody knows I'm doing this. Nobody, you know, it's not affecting other people. I can eat all this junk, and I was wrong every time. And when I came in here, I was suicidal because every relationship in my life was in the toilet, and I had two children who were 7 and 10 years old, and they were having a really difficult time. And one of them was born with a brain disorder, a bipolar disorder, and personality disorder, and nobody could help me. But all I did was make it worse by my being crazy on sugar, flour, and wheat all the time, and overeating. And I still have that problem of going back to overeating. That is a compulsive eating behavior that obviously, because I'm not in an ideal weight or even close, is still an issue. And that's from a lack when I'm not spiritually fit. But this program taught me so much, and I don't want to talk any more about before. No, I do need to, because I discovered when I came in here, I had no idea that I lived in a fantasy. I lived in a fantasy world. My reality was not really reality. My reality was that someday I was going to be thin and pretty and smart, instead of dumb, stupid, and ugly, and fat, stupid, and ugly was how I always thought of myself. That was a fantasy. Not that I wouldn't be fat, stupid, and ugly, but that I would be, you know, the opposite of all those things. That's a pretty big fantasy. But I really said yes to giving this talk because dealing with expectations has been a huge part of my recovery. I didn't realize when I came in that I had all these preconceived notions that were very different from other people's, because I was quite often afraid to express what was going on up here. I could not, I was a people pleaser. I tried to tell people what I thought they wanted to hear in a lot of situations, especially friendships and stuff. And then in work situations, I would really stand up for what I believed in and really piss people off, because I didn't have a very good way of listening to other people and to considering other points of view. And coming in here, I learned how to listen to people so much better. I still have, I still interrupt people. There's things that, I spent half of my life with all these false beliefs. And I've spent the second half of my life, and it's really been exactly half and half now. The second half of my life trying to learn everything all over again. And letting go of expectations of other people and myself was a huge part of my, spiritual, emotional, physical recovery. That's kind of in between the emotional and the spiritual, in my opinion. The spiritual part, I reached a point where I was willing to believe that God could bother with me, that there was a higher power for me that cared about what I ate and how I felt about myself. And a lot of my expectations were that people thought the way I did. And so I didn't have to say things, because certainly they knew. And that was really important when it came to my relationship with my husband. I would not tell him my needs, but expect him to know them. I would expect him to do things. And then when he didn't do them, or he did things differently than I expected, then I was upset. And I didn't express anger very well until it got really bad, and then I would explode. But I, one of the first things I learned in treatment was, nobody else can read my mind, not even my spouse. We used to read each other's mind when it came to playing our music together, but we can't even do that anymore. We don't think the same anymore, but that's okay. One of the biggest things I had to learn was that a lot of my expectations were based on false beliefs. And some of them have been gone for so long that I can't remember exactly what they were. But one of the biggest things was that, why would I expect other people to respond differently to something than they have every other time that I've known them, like my mother, my husband, my kids, me. Why would I expect myself to respond to eating foods that trigger my addiction? Why would I expect that to be different the next time? So it was sort of a connection to reality. I needed to get in touch with reality. And in this program, I learned through the steps and the traditions to look at reality first of all, having to, you know, do a first step and admit, and I was in really bad mental shape when I came in here. My whole family was in trouble. One of my 7-year-old daughter would grab a knife out of the drawer and say, "I'm going to kill myself." And my 10-year-old son would beat kids up at school. And my husband was always stoned, and I was always high on sugar and couldn't make a decision if my life depended on it. And that was the sugar. That was the sugar. And I've learned that now over all these years. But there's so many things. One of the things that changed my life the most was when I read, and I know you've all heard it a million times, but I'm going to read it again. And I was, which is in the Big Book about acceptance. And there it is. "Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I'm disturbed, it's because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly what the way it's supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Until I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate so much, not so much on what needs to be changed in the world, but what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes." And my attitudes towards a lot of things were upside down attitudes. And accepting other people as they are. Before my mother passed away, well, when I came into the program, everything was my mother's fault. Everything. I didn't get affection as a child. I was constantly criticized. These things all affected me greatly, but I was still expecting her to be different. I had a lot of anger to get out, and I did. And by the time my mother passed away 5 years ago, so I was in program for 28 years. We had a really good relationship. I didn't expect her to be different, but she did change. She did change. And part of that is because I changed how I responded to her. And part of it is because sometimes when I would respond to her, you know, by doing it completely differently, I think she learned those things. But I also started opening up more. Everything in my head was not revealed to anyone. And with my mother, I either wanted to piss her off when I was younger or just be away from her. I really hated her. And I blamed her for everything that was wrong with my life. And here, you know, by the time she died, we had a great relationship. We would take her on vacations with us. Things like that. I thought my father was this wonderful person. And he was killed in an accident when I was 25. And I had 2 small children. He's the only one of his 19 grandchildren. The only 2 of his 19 grandchildren that he ever knew were my 2 kids. But I have learned through this program so much more about my mother and what led her to be the way she was, and so much more letting go of putting my father on a pedestal. I mean, he had 9 kids and he was always at work. And who was trying to deal with all those 9 kids all the time? It was my mother. And I felt like I raised the last 3. And it's a good thing that I kind of got put in that position, because that in those days, I didn't know how to ask for my needs to be met. So, and one of them was affection. And so I could give them affection and I could be their mom. I, you know, and it was all those things changed how I think about my parents now. I know more of the reality. And I have 8 brothers and sisters, and I had no relationship with any of them when I came in here. And one of them, I actually went to work for, most of you know this, spent 7 years working for one of my sisters who has really got some problems. And I knew her so little that I didn't realize what it might be like. And then others, I got to know them. I got to know them. I know myself. I'm at one of my sister's houses right now in the White Mountains. And when we were younger, we're 17 months apart, I think, in age. And we're the 2 oldest. And we hated each other in high school. We hated each other. And now, because of program, we have a relationship. We have a great relationship. I actually like to do things with her. I never thought that would ever happen. And that's been just in the last 2 or 3 years. And part of it is my finally saying how I feel about things and not being afraid. And I don't expect her to be different. When I came into the program, I didn't know what to expect about like losing weight and all that stuff. And, when I lost a lot of weight, I was pretty excited about it, but, I did not expect to have to change everything, you know, and that's what they say in the big book too, you know, you gotta change everything. And I have had to change everything. And it's been great. I mean, if I wanted to die and I was killing myself with food after I stopped thinking about ways to kill myself, because I didn't want to do that after someone very close to me did do that. But I have learned now, you know, I don't want to die. I want to live, and I have relationships with people. And so now I share actual feelings. I had to learn what they are. And I had to not expect anything different from them. I can change me. I can't change them. That time that I was working for my sister, I prayed every day, bless her, change me. That was my mantra. And that when something's really difficult, I don't look at it the same as I used to. I used to just look at it as things as they're doing this to hurt me and all that stuff. And I know, I don't think I've mentioned it yet, but most of you know this too, that I have pretty serious ADD and medications don't seem to help. I react to medications. So I have to deal with it and I wander all over the place. But even that, you know, I would never have figured that out if it weren't for this program. I expected that I should be able to take care of myself. I should be able to take care of my problems. And then I learned to expect that my higher power would be there for me. And to turn not just certain things, not just certain big, huge decisions over to my higher power, but everything, including and most and quite frequently when I worked for my sister, turning her over to my higher power. But I found like in sponsoring that I'm really seeing how other people have done the same things, and they'll talk about having a problem with a sibling. And I'm able to see that they're expecting that person. I mean, like, I can see, you know, well, you have this problem with this person frequently, you know, the same problem. And I can see that they have this belief that that person's supposed to speak differently, that they're supposed to do something differently. And one of my favorite phrases I've learned in program is don't should on yourself. And every time the word should comes up, I think, okay, what's another way to say that? Because there's not very many of those things that we should do. There's a lot of things that we can do, but expecting should is an expectation. And so I try to put that word out of my vocabulary. I try to put I try to put preconceived notions out of my head. My husband and I have had some wonderful vacations because both of us were like, whatever, you know. It's been a little harder recently since, and I'm not sure why, but things like we planned a trip many years ago somewhere. And first we expected my mother to pick us up to take us to the airport. She forgot. We were flying overseas. We were flying to Hawaii and she forgot to pick us up, but we didn't get mad at her. then something else got changed. We got to Hawaii and one of our suitcases was missing. Thank you, Janice. And we're like, well, it's a good thing that that's not all of our suitcases, you know, whatever. And then they didn't have the whale watching trip we were supposed to go on was canceled and nobody told us. And we had based the whole trip on going whale watching. And we just went, oh, well, there's so many other things to do, you know. And we, both of us, amazingly, were just able to let go of what we were expecting to do and just trust that things were going to be okay. They found our suitcase. They didn't have the car we wanted. Guess what? We got a bigger car. Maybe more gas, but it was a lot easier to see the whales from the road. So, you know. So anyhow, I just have been struggling a little bit with this expectations things lately, realizing my husband and I are having a lot of miscommunications, and it's because we're thinking that they're thinking in a certain way and they're not. And so I'm learning to ask more questions. And I always thought I was expected to know everything. And if I got asked a question, I would be ridiculed. And I'll ask any question there is now. It's different. And I want to know things, and I'm not ashamed to say I don't know what that is. I grew up being really ashamed, afraid of saying I don't understand. And we didn't have the internet to go look stuff up. So I know I've talked about a lot of different things, but I hope that I've shared that I hung around and waited for the miracle. And I've had so many miracles in my life. Thank you very much for asking me to speak.
Oh, I have a quick PS. I forgot to mention something that I really wanted to mention, which is my favorite program quote regarding expectations. And here it is. An expectation is a premeditated resentment. I'll say it again. An expectation is a premeditated resentment. I just love that. If I go into a situation with an expectation of an outcome, I have already set myself up to have a resentment if it doesn't turn out the way I expected. I just had to get that in there. Thank you.